Psalms 23, verse number 1, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I didn't see that in coming, amen. Hallelujah. Help yourself, glory to God, amen. Woo! Glory to God, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if I need to try that again. Amen. Son, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of you need to get that. That'll help your attitude. If you get it, that'll help your attitude. That'll help your ambitions in life. That'll help your affections. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The theme of the whole service this morning has been that right there. He restoreth my soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for meeting with us in such a gracious and merciful way. And I pray you will help us this morning as we share your heart, as we try to preach, God, your word, that we'll have ears to hear. Lord, I know that we could go with the atmosphere and probably not even end up preaching. I know that, but I just keep feeling that compulsion in my spirit that I need to preach this morning. Our Father, and you know who's here and who's what's needed. And I want to thank you that the service has been, Lord, has been tailor-made and fit, God, to line up with the subject this morning. And so I pray that you will guide our thoughts and help us to say nothing more, nothing less, God, than what you would want. And we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been preaching on Psalms 23. I wasn't intending on it to be a series. I thought it was just going to be a one message, you know, but of course you can't preach Psalm 23 in one message. There's no way. But we've dealt with several things already. One, we dealt with two services on verse number one, how that the shepherd meets the need of our emptiness. How the shepherd is sufficient for our emptiness. And I don't want to get on that or I'll preach it again. Amen. I'm glad that he satisfies. I'm glad he makes sure he takes care of the sheep's needs to the point that the sheep can say, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not lack is what that word means. I shall not live with deficiency. I shall not go without. We may not have all that we want, but we have the promise that he'll meet our needs. And one thing I try to stay away from is questioning God. Why, God, are you doing this or not doing that? Or why are you allowing this or that? And I'm going to tell you, there's been times that I thought God should have done this and that and the other. And I got to questioning Him. But I'm telling you, the sheep never questions the shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd. They may not know where he's leading. They may not know what pasture they're going to go to. They may not know the ins and outs and the ups and downs and about the shepherd, but they've got enough confidence in the shepherd that they just trust him. Amen. They just trust him. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need to trust him. Today, that's been on my heart strong even this morning. Just need to trust Him. I mean, the shepherd is our sufficiency. And He promised that we would not want. We would not want because of that. And I'm going to tell you, when we worry, and we all do it, I'm not going to excuse it. We do it, but I'm not going to excuse it. It's sin. It's doubt. It's unbelief. I know that. I'm going to tell you what it is. Basically, is a lack of confidence in the shepherd. That's what worry is. That's what fear is a lack of confidence that maybe he can't take care of this issue. And maybe he might not even know about this issue in my life. But I want to tell you, he knows every detail about the sheep, and he is quite able. He has proven himself capable to meet our need, and our driving need is the need of fulfillment and the need to have our wants satisfied. And so he takes care of our emptiness. And then verse number 2 kind of starts letting us see into a little more details of that, how that he takes care of our essentials. Boy, he knows what we need. Verse 1 uses the word want, but I'm glad Jesus knows what our needs are. A want you can do without. A need is a need. And the Lord knows, Matthew 6, what we have need of before we even ask Him. And we preached about that last week. But I want to get to where we are in our verse now, verse 3. The Bible shows us another thing the shepherd meets in the life of the sheep. And the Bible said he restoreth my soul. Yes, he meets he satisfies my emptiness. And yes, I want to tell you, he takes care and supplies my essentials. I want to tell you, dear friend, in verse 3, there's another one. He takes care of my errors. Now, if you don't never slip up and bobble around and stumble around and wobble on the shaft, then you can take your nap. Amen. But I want to tell you, I'm probably preaching to a bunch of sheep in here that have a problem, as I do, of erring. Amen. Of having errors in the way, getting sideways, being where we don't need to be. And we need to be restored. We need to be restored. The very term, he restoreth my soul, identifies the fact the sheep at times get in a condition and get in a location that they need to be brought back. Amen. The word restore, I like this. I know if you get blessed over parts of speech, you definitely know it's God. Amen. That word restoreth, Brother Brooks, is a verb. Anybody know what a verb is? It's an action word. Aren't you glad that our shepherd is not inactive? I'm glad that our shepherd, Brother Jeremy, is active. And that's not the only verb. This Psalms 23 is full of them. Amen. Showing the activity, showing the motion, showing the movement of the shepherd. And here's what blesses me, is that all of those actions, all of that movement of the shepherd is never for the shepherd. Woo! He don't have to move for himself. He is self-sufficient, self-satisfying, amen, self-existent. But he has to move for the benefit of the sheep. If he don't move, we'll die. If he's not active, we'll not make it. Thank God the shepherd is a shepherd of action. He is able, amen, to restore. I noticed something else about that word, restore, this morning. I don't know if y'all feel God or not, but I sure do. Amen. That word restore is not just a verb. It lets us see that it's action, but also it's in the imperfect mood. Amen. Imperfect means it is an action that is incomplete. In other words, he just restores and keeps on restoring. He restored you on Sunday, and he knows you're probably going to need to restore it on Monday. He's an all the time, 7 days a week, 24-hour day shepherd, amen, that's active up in the direction of his sheep, because he knows we're needy, amen. Thank God. He never gets to the point where he'll say, I'm done with you. If he gets to the place where he's done with you, you're fixing to be going to the mortuary. Amen. But I'm glad that even times the vessel seems to be marred, as Jeremiah presented it in the hands of the potter. Well, what does the potter do when the vessel's marred? I want to tell you, listen, when it's marred, sure, it displeases him. When it's marred, it wasn't his intent. When it's marred, I want to tell you, it doesn't reflect the image that he's got in mind. But he don't throw the clay away. Thank God, the Bible said in Jeremiah, yet he makes it again another vessel. He's able, thank God, hallelujah, for the patience of the Lord. Thank God for that patience that says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to work and keep working. I'm going to restore and keep on restoring. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he hasn't give up on me. I've been marred many times. Oh, yes. And he deserved to have said, I'm tired of fooling with you. I deserve for him to say that. I deserve for him to say, I'm done with you. After all I've done for you, now look at you. Now you're walking after the flesh, and you're listening to the flesh, and you're leaning on the flesh, and loving the flesh. And after all that I've done for you, now you're trying to be more worldly than you are godly. Oh, I'm done with you. That's probably what I'd say if I was God. But I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad God's not me. Oh yes, I'm glad that he restores, and that'll never be complete until we get to the big house. Amen. Boy, isn't that good? Hallelujah. When we get home, the work will be done, Brother Rob. Amen. The work of conformity will be over with. He'll not have to keep molding and fooling with us and forgiving us. And I'm glad there's coming a day. I'm about to have a spell. There's coming a day we'll fail him our lifetime. There's coming a day that we'll have to say, I'm sorry. There's coming a day that we'll be able to say, Lord, I've sinned. There's coming a day that all that'll be over with. I'll never have to ask him, Lord, forgive me. I'll never have to ask him, Lord, show mercy on me. Oh, I'll never have to ask him none of that. Why? Because, thank God, we'll step out of this world of faults and failures and fumbles, amen, and we'll step into that eternal day. Thank God, that day of perfection, that day that we'll be in his likeness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, amen. Amen. He'll not need to restore us then. I say glory. I ain't going to get done with it. I'm done say it. That's all right. It's been a while since I felt a good touch from heaven. Amen. Like I feel in my soul. Why? I'm bragging on him. I'm magnifying his ability to restore the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. That word restore. I like these definitions, boy. I can say amen to every one of them. I've seen them all in my life. That word restoreth, I like that E-T-H on the end of it, but that word restoreth, it means to turn back. How many times has my shepherd moved in my direction saw me going in the wrong direction, saw me going in a dangerous direction. Amen. And he knew that a sheep has no sense of direction. And I mean, listen, a sheep get lost, it's lost. Amen. Oh, thank God for the shepherd that's willing to go through the night, through the cold, endlessly, my friend, looking for that wayward sheep. It means to turn back. It means to turn away. See, he can't turn you back unless he turns you away for some things. Boy, I'd like to preach right here a minute. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in my life so many times. When I get sideways with God, get cold, get carnal, and you know your affection. Come on now, might as well just preach practical. And your affection kind of gets going in a carnal direction. Your affection kind of goes in a worldly direction, in a selfish direction. And you know you start getting involved, a lot of times maybe not with bad things, but it starts consuming your affection. And even if it's a good thing, if it gets in the way of the best thing, it becomes a bad thing. And you know what? I've noticed this. Oh, if the Lord would have left me to myself. If the Lord would have just let me keep going. No telling where I would have wound up. I would have probably not having more sense than a sheep does. I would have probably walked right into the wolf den. I'd have probably pulled out a pillow and camped out in the den of the wolves. Amen? I probably would. But he knew it. And he come after me. But here's the point I want to make. Talking about the turning back involves a turning away. Well, I've seen him at times start taking the fun out of it. I'm talking about out of something that you shouldn't be doing. Something that's stealing your heart away from God. Stealing your heart away from the Bible. Stealing your heart away from the shepherd. I want to tell you, I believe he's able to not only turn you back from that, but turn you away from that. My friend, cause you to not like as much what you once liked. And you know what I thought about just now? He did that in me, salvation. A sinner will never turn from sin as long as they're just got a mouthful of it. As long as they're just enjoying it, my friend, just to the depths. Amen? I want to tell you, I can't explain it, but the Holy Ghost begins to work in a person's heart, put them under Holy Ghost conviction, and show them that, my friend, what they're doing and what they're involved in and how they're living is not cutting the cheese. Amen? It's not satisfying the longings of your soul. And there's a cry that comes from you that says there's got to be more to life than this. What that is the Holy Ghost, my friend, working in your life to turn you away from sin and to turn you unto the Lord. To turn back. To turn away. To bring back. I like this word. To retrieve. To retrieve is what the word restore means. To retrieve. It means to refresh. So, preacher, I'm just kind of, you know, when you get out of the way from God and get, you know, where you're not supposed to be, guess what happens? Spiritual things becomes dull and boring. Amen. Going to church and reading the Word of God and praying and hearing all that preaching and stuff, that's just boring stuff. Going to Sunday school is just boring. I want to tell you, it's not the source. It's the recipient. It's the recipient. But I want to tell you, I've noticed this, that the times that God has restored my soul, there comes the element of freshness back with it. Thank God the Bible's fresh again. Church is fresh again. The songs of Zion is fresh again. Prayer's fresh again. Thank God. Amen. If you notice that in your life. But the word means to refresh. To repair. He restoreth my soul means if there's any damage done. It means to repair. Boy, I can't tell you the times that I've had to be repaired. The word also means to relieve. Have you ever been in the need of relief? Oh, Lord, help us. I've been there physically many times in several ways, and you have as well. I don't get migraines maybe once or twice every blue moon. Amen. Thank God it's only that. I know people have them almost daily. But oh, what relief you need. The pressure is enormous in your head. But thank God then that relief comes. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, don't that feel good? Don't that feel good to have that pressure gone? You get away from God, your life is going to be full of pressure. Your life's going to be full of pain. Amen. And what you need is relief. Amen. And Rolaids can't give it to you. I'll tell you, the medical doctor can't give you spiritual relief. Amen. You've got to go to the shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. The word also means to release. To release. To rescue. Amen. A lot of people in the Bible, there's a lot of Bible characters. We know man didn't write the Bible. Because if man had written the Bible, he'd have left out all the negative. Lot would have never had written about him, about Sodom and Gomorrah. And his two daughters and all that. Amen. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God as He moved men to write the Word of God. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration. God inspired men. God took men's personality. And God took men's pen. And I'm going to tell you, they wrote many times what they didn't even know they were writing. Amen. But anyway, I just want to share that throughout the Scripture, there's many that fail. There's many blunders that throughout the Scriptures recorded. Could I mention a couple to help us see the truth of this? I thought about David. David failed in his sin with Bathsheba. God never excused it. God never made light of it. And he said the reproach will never leave his house. The sword will never leave his house. And boy, did he encounter pain and heartache over that as he buried some of his children, even as the result of his sin. But you know what the truth is? He prayed in Psalm 51, his prayer of repentance. And a part of that, verse number 11, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. He realized he had lost some ground. You can't fool with the flesh without losing ground. You can't, my friend, listen and go after the attractions of the world without losing spiritual ground. Are you listening? I thought about David, how that he needed to be restored. He needed to be restored. He repented, prayed that God would create in him a clean heart. He prayed that God would restore unto him the joy of his salvation. He prayed that God would purge him and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you what, the Bible said there was a time that God was looking for a man after his own heart. The Bible says that God sought a man after his own heart. And did you know who that man ended up being? David. The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. But here's the point I want to share with you. If what information I've gotten, studying it out. My friend, God said that about David. David had that testimony after he fell. So David, my friend, was restored to a place to where his heart was after God, even though he had failed. Amen. Amen. Devil will tell you you've blown it and God will never have anything to do with you no more. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie, friend. I want to tell you, God's in the restoring business. God's in the restoring business. Why do you think 1 John 1:9 is in the Word of God? Brother Mark's dealt with it. I've preached it. It's there. 1 John 1:9 is not in the Bible for sinners. Send there for saints that's their fellowship with God has been broken because of sin. If we, John put himself in there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2 verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you. That you sin not. That's His will. That's His perfect will. that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. God knows what we'd be after He saved us. Let me give you another Bible character I think most of us can relate to. It's Peter. We can relate to Peter quite a bit. I thought about him this morning. Peter, one time there, even Peter was walking on the water. That's how spiritual he was. He was walking the same walk Jesus was. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water. Well, I mean, that was powerful. Amen. A lot of people makes fun of Peter sinking. Well, at least he got out of the boat. Amen. Amen. A lot of people makes fun of Peter, but how many steps have you took on the water? Amen. Amen. Until you've took more steps than him on the water, I wouldn't say too much. Amen. But the fact is that during that process, during that spiritual and supernatural experience, Peter had an uprising of the flesh that caused him to start noticing the wind and the waves and the darkness and the storms. And the Bible said that he looked at that. He began to see that. And the Bible said he began to sink. That's what the flesh will do with you. That's what the flesh will do for you. You look at what the flesh wants you to look at, you'll sink. You listen to what the flesh wants you to listen to, you'll sink. Amen. As long as you stay focused, that's the key. Stay focused. In Jesus, my friend, amen, you can walk on the waters. But here's the point I wanted to make. He cried out and said, Lord, save me. Now, he didn't need his soul saved. He is already saved. He was already a disciple of the Lord. But here's the point that in his journey, he needed restoring. And watch this. He was being restored out of a watery grave. You say, preacher, it don't matter if I get right with God or not. Hey, the direction you're going in, my friend, is going to be a grave to you. You can't survive. You can't make it on your own. You can flip around and swim around and do the back float, amen. But eventually it'll turn into a dead man's float, amen. That's exactly right. I'll tell you, we need to be restored. And the Lord demonstrates His ability, even though it's dark, even though it's dangerous, even though it's difficult, and even though Peter deserved to go down. He exhibited His ability. The Bible said He stretched forth His hand and caught him. And restored him back to where he needed to be. Amen. So I thought about Peter when he was sinking. Then I thought about a little bit later on in Peter's life. Boy, he really messed up. Peter, I'm a lot like Peter. He's all the time sticking his foot in his mouth. A lot of times Peter had it open, had his mouth open when he should have been closed. And sometimes it's closed when it should have been open. Y'all have that problem? I do. I have that problem some. But can I mention this quickly? Peter denied the Lord. You know that. Peter denied the Lord. Jesus told him he'd do it. Said, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me. Sure enough. No, not me, Lord. No, never. I'll die with you. Not me, Lord. I won't die. I won't never deny you. And I want to tell you, Peter, listen. He began to deny the Lord. They began to come to him. Said, you're one of them. No, not me. I don't know the man. And it got to the point the Bible even said he cursed and denied him. He began to curse and say, I don't know the man. You think, well, Peter, you've really done it this time. But I read it sitting over there just a while ago, there in Luke's account. He adds one little thing that Matthew don't add. The Bible said the Lord looked at him. The Bible said the Lord turned and looked at him. The Lord didn't say nothing, but the Lord made eye contact with Peter. Peter's heart melted in him. Amen. And the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. What does that mean? He went out and repented. He went out and said, Lord, I'm sorry. He went out and regretted ever getting crossed up with God. But listen, that's not the last chapter. That's not the end of the story. Peter's got two books in the Bible. 1 and 2 Peter. Not only that, we find that Jesus in John 21 coming to Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And you know what he was doing? Restoring him. Because he'd got discouraged after the resurrection of Christ, or, you know, before he knew the resurrection of Christ, he got discouraged and said, I'm going fishing. And he went fishing. Well, Jesus came and pursued him. Why? For the purpose of restoring him. And listen to this. You know what happened after that? Peter is the man God used on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people saved in one service. Boy, isn't that good? That lets me know there's hope for us. There's hope for us. The devil won't tell you that. The devil will tell you you've blown it. It's history. You might as well just quit. Amen. That's a lie hatched out of the pit. Amen. God says He restoreth my soul. Well, I like this. That word restoreth in Psalms 23, in verse 3, He restoreth my soul. That word is used, of course, several times, translated several different ways in the Bible, in King James Bible. But this one got my attention. It's used in Genesis 8 and verse number 9. It's talking about the ark. Talking about the dove. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. And here comes the word. She returned. She returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. I like this. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. That sounds like a whole lot of restoring going on right there. Are you listening? Return. That was one of the definitions. Now the raven, it didn't say that about the raven. This is a type of the two natures in the believer. You got an old raven nature. And then you've got the dove nature. Noah released that raven and it never did come back. You know why? There's all kind of old dead stuff for it to light on and feed on. You turn that flesh loose, I promise you it won't come back. Not willingly, not voluntarily. Why? Because there's enough filth and there's enough garbage in this world for that old raven flesh to light on and live off of. But that new nature God puts in you as a believer, that dove nature, the Holy Ghost, amen? The Bible said right there that he released that dove, and that dove went out and it said plainly, found no rest for the sole of her foot. She said, I can just see that dove constantly flopping and flying. I can't light on that. That's defiled. I can't look at that. That's defiled. I can't go here. I can't run around with them. That is defiling. And found nowhere on the whole earth, a surface of the earth to light and find rest. Boy, isn't that the way it is for a child of God? I want to tell you, we're around, we can see it and it's all around us, but we don't look at it as a place to light. We don't look at it as a perch. We look at it as defilement. We look at it as, oh, I can't light on that. I can't feed off of that. That's corrupt. Amen. She found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned. Thank God. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And the Bible said, then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. What nature is in control of your life? That old raven nature. By the way, that's how you know you're saved. You've got two natures. If you're lost, you've got one nature. That's that human nature, that depraved nature, that dead nature. I'm talking about dead toward God, dead spiritually. That loves sin, that loves unrighteousness, that loves wickedness. Amen? But I want to tell you, when you get saved, God puts His nature in you. I've had people tell me, preach, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. I say, you told the truth. You can't live it. That old flesh nature you got will never live a Christian life. Never. You might get it to be religious and join a church and get baptized, but you cannot get it to submit to God, serve God, live for God, and you'll certainly never get it saved. You'll never get it saved. But thank God, God puts His nature in you. God puts His Holy Ghost in you. Thank God, I like that. That's not a figure of speech. That's a reality, friend. Thank God, God's in me today. He's in everybody that's saved. He is in everybody that's saved. I want to ask you, dear friend, which nature's in control? That old raven nature that's out there, you've turned it loose, my friend, and it's out there feeding on every ungodly thing in the book. It don't mind it. It don't never get bothered by the deadness around it. It never gets bothered by the defilement around it. Never. Because it likes it. Tell me what bothers you, and you tell me whether you're saved or not. Are you listening? Amen, that's right. It bothers me as a pastor to when I hear things and see things and know things and of people in the church that's unbecoming of a Christian and never seem to be bothered by it. Never seem to be bothered by it. Brother Mark, you said it well in Sunday school. That Holy Spirit that brings you under conviction over your sin when He's dealing with you about being saved is the same Holy Ghost that'll put you under conviction about your sin when it's dealing with spirituality. I wonder, I'm telling you as a pastor, I wonder, my friend, about some folk in our church. I'm wondering about some young folk in our church. I'm wondering about some adults in our church that seem to never get bothered about nothing. Never seem to get bothered by it. Amen. Talk every which way. Pursue all kinds of worldly pursuits. Not interested in purity and godliness and holiness. Interested in worldliness. Wanting to look like the world. Wanting to listen to the same trashy music as the world. Hey, I want to tell you, it bothers me. If it bothers me how you're living, why don't it bother you how you're living? And I'm just a pastor. I'm just a preacher. Say amen right there. That's right. I don't want to get on this because we're in a good message. But I wouldn't listen to nobody sing, no kind of singing, that your preacher wouldn't let up on this platform to sing. Are you listening? I'm telling you, friend, it bothers me to know that people listen to garbage music. I don't care if you put Christian on it. If it's contemporary, it ain't Christian, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Contemporary is another definition for the word worldly. You're trying to adapt the world's melody, trying to adapt the world's bump and all of that, and hook it up with some Christian themes or lyrics. Moppy heads. I'm talking about the boys, the men. That bothers me. I'm going to tell you, you can see that on the Gaithers too, buddy. Old mop head plumb down on his back. Wasn't long ago I was somewhere and they had it on, and there they had the Oak Ridge boys in there singing gospel. When the truth was probably known the night before, this probably in some honky tonk somewhere. They don't have enough, my friend, than years ago to walk away from singing gospel all the time, completely and solely, and start going and singing trashy music. You think I'd let them come back and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? Yeah, that's right. Oh, mop-head thing. Look like Cousin Ian on the Munsters. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's people today don't have no standards. They don't have no convictions. And I'm going to tell you, it bothers me. People claim to be saved don't have no standards in their life. Anything goes. You better check up, friend, because that's what I had before I got saved. Amen. That's exactly what I had. I was a church member, been baptized, and all of that that goes with it. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to tell you, I had a heart toward sin. I loved it. I lived in it. Amen. When everybody wasn't looking, I was knee-deep in it. Well, I need to get back on the message. Amen. How can a preacher preach in a church 18 and a half years and not know what he's preaching? It's hitting somebody. I think John knew pretty well when he walked in there and said, Hey Philip, it's not lawful for you to have your brothers, or Herod, point his finger at Herod and said, Herod, it ain't right for you to have your brothers, Philip's wife. I think he knew. It ain't a matter of does a preacher know. It doesn't matter about that. That should not even be the question. The question is it true? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If somebody's been stealing, the preacher gets up and preaches on being a thief, I don't think you ought to discard that and say, well, the preacher knew that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to receive that. The preacher knew something. Of course he did. And if he did know it and didn't preach on it, he's a liberal.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not interested, did he know? I want to know, was it true? Is it Bible? Did he preach it from the Bible? Well, I don't want to get on that. It wouldn't be good. But we find that, listen, we can find restoration from our errors. I don't know about you, but that blessed me. I don't have time to finish this and deal with it. I'll deal with it tonight, the Lord willing, that is. And that word restoreth has the idea of when a sheep gets cast, gets turned upside down. And he'll die there if a shepherd don't come to his rescue. And I want to go into more detail on that and deal with that tonight as the Lord will help us. And then if the Lord will help us to finish that, then we'll move right on to our next point that we're going to deal with, that he takes care of our endangerments.
Amen.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, there's endangerments around this, isn't there? He takes care of that. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, this morning I know that you have prepared the service, Lord, for the message this morning and prepared the message for the service. Lord, that we need to be restored, and I'm glad you do take care of my emptiness. Lord, I'm glad you do take care of my essentials. But Lord, I am so glad, God, that you take care of my errors. Lord, when I falter, Lord, when I stumble, when I sin against you, Lord. Oh, dear God, I'm so glad today that I can find my shepherd to be a loving shepherd. One that doesn't love my sin, but loves me. A shepherd that desires to restore me back to fellowship with him. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'll take the message. There's folk here today. There's no doubt in my heart, no doubt in my mind. It's heading in the wrong direction. Lord, I pray that they'll never look upon that favorably. They'll never treat that as a friend, but they'll treat it as a foe. Lord, we pray that you will help those in the service today that are not right with you presently, that they will know today that they can be restored. Lord, if they'll be sorry for their sin, and Lord, if they'll come to you as was talked about earlier in the service, with a broken and a contrite spirit, that'll come to you, Lord, humbly. Dear Father, I believe they can be restored. I believe they can be restored. Dear Lord, I've seen so many people down through the years of my Christian journey that got crossed up and going the wrong direction. And Lord, they seem like they never really seek your face to be restored. Lord, I pray you'll help us this morning. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Oh God, we're so faulty this morning. Lord, if you give us what we deserve, we'd be cut off. But I want to thank you, Lord, that your mercy and your grace enables us to have what we need instead of what we deserve. Lord, you know the need. You know what's going on in people's lives. I'm not going to be no high sheriff and chase people around trying to catch people. I'm not going to do that. Lord, I pray you'll help these young people. Lord, we've got some young people in our church that their heart is 100 miles from you. If they've ever even had a heart for you. Lord, I've known some, Lord, for a good long while, and I've never seen one, not one speck of anything spiritual out of them. But yet they claim to be saved. Lord, I pray you will show them and deal with them and speak to them, Lord, about examining their heart and life to see whether they're really saved or not, as the Bible would reveal. Lord, I'm glad for your mercy this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to forgive. Lord, I would not be here this morning, and I know that. I would not be here this morning had not you many, many times restored me. Come to where I was, begin to deal with me, begin to speak to me. And Lord, at times you'd even use your rod to bring correction. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you always had my good in mind. You did all of that for my good and for your glory. Have your way now. There's someone here today lost. I pray you'd show them they need to be saved. They need the Lord in their life. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.